Well, hello there. Welcome in. It is the latest edition of We've Seen That, our little movie digital radio show about the 80s, the 90s, and more. I'm TJ Reeves. He's the famous Jay. I'm based here in West Central Florida. He's based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Patna, are you ready to talk some baseball on this edition of the show?
I'm ready to talk movies. I'm ready to talk baseball. And this is such a special edition. I'm actually calling you on the phone so we can get this done. So let's do it.
Yeah, we should. It's a little inside baseball air quotes here that we had to make other arrangements for Jay to be on the show today. So we don't have maybe the same quality that you've heard on some of our previous shows, which, by the way, again, we've seen that on social media. Find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram at We've Seen That. Find the show through Blog Talk Radio. And if you found us that way, that's great. Also, subscribe to the show, iTunes, Stitcher. If you didn't know, you could subscribe. You can get the catalog of all of our older episodes, our most recent episode on Hoosiers, which is near and dear to me because at the time that we're talking, we just had the college basketball Final Four. So we've got that. But I mean, whether you like dramatic movies like The Fugitive or The Bodyguard or our review of Star Wars or fun stuff with White Men Can't Jump and Christmas Vacation, we've got something basically on We've Seen That for just about anybody, right?
For sure. You know, fans of movies from Basic Instinct and Die Hard, Beverly Hills Cop 2, we've kind of hit all kind of different genres. And most of our shows, we talk about one individual movie. But this one, there's so many baseball movies, we couldn't even really decide on one. So we decided to kind of go Siskel and Ebert style, and we're going to hit a couple of big movies on the baseball front, and we're also going to have a big guest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, this show is so big. I mean, and we may come back around and do a specific baseball movie or two on We've Seen That. We're not precluding that. But since you and I kind of have a little bit different tastes, maybe, we just decided let's do a bunch. Let's have the buffet. Let's go after everything. And Rob Dibble is going to be here. I've known Dibbs for going on, Lord, about 15 years now, doing different broadcast ventures with him, working with him at Sirius XM over a decade ago. Dibbs does a great job doing his local radio show now in Connecticut with the ESPN fleet of stations in Connecticut. Former Major League Baseball All-Star pitcher, former world champion with the Cincinnati Reds. Jay, he's got some good opinions on baseball movies and why he likes some of the best ones and what works for him. So I'm looking forward to that part of the conversation a little bit later on here.
When I told you, you know, I grew up listening to sports radio, the Dan Patrick Show with Dan and Dibs on ESPN Radio, so I'm looking forward to just talking to him.
It is a lot of fun, and again, we're going to go over a couple of different things, including best baseball movie, best scene, or who really pulled it off in a baseball movie. Dibble's got some thoughts. Let's begin on that front. If I say to you point blank, best baseball movie and why, Jay Betzel, go for it.
If you and I are just sitting at a hotel in Dallas when you're in town to talk to do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Cowboys game, I would probably say there's a tie for 7 or 8 and just keep going. But for the purpose of this, I'm going to go with Field of Dreams.
Ah!
Kevin Costner, who we know is in a plethora of baseball movies. This is his movie. He plays Ray Kinsella, and he basically plows his entire cornfield in Iowa and build a baseball field off of a voice telling him if you build it, he will come. And he kind of thinks it's all based around the 1919 Chicago White Sox was turned into basically the Chicago Black Sox scandal, and that he would be Shoeless Joe Jackson. But as the movie goes on, you know, you kind of get to meet some of these older players. There's some the cast is amazing. You got Burt Lancaster, Ray Liotta, obviously mentioned Kevin Costner, Timothy Busfield, Amy Madigan. And there's a lot of different kind of storylines that kind of overlap one another. But in the end, if you build it, he will come revolves around his father. And he gets to play catch with his father, who he didn't play catch with when he was a teenager because of a lot of stuff that was kind of going on at that time. And he was kind of rebellious, you know, and as a lot of people, as they grow older, they start to kind of realize some of the stuff that they cared a lot about didn't matter as much. Kind of one of those kind of movies where, yes, it's a baseball movie as roots, but in reality, it's kind of like our generations. You know, our show is basically 80s and 90s movies. And this came out in 1989, right in the middle of all of it. It's kind of like our generation's It's a Wonderful Life, if you will. It's just a really good, fun, happy movie with a great ending.
Well, I know one of the things, and we're both Kevin Costner fans, and again, we talked about this in and around The Bodyguard, and we may end up doing some other Costner movies as well. But the fact that he's a sports guy, you know, Tin Cup would come out years later, but he was making baseball movies in and around these times, American Flyers, like we've referenced before, a great movie. We both have a special place in our heart for Costner for his movies, but in particular his sports movies. So it doesn't surprise me that that one tugged at you for that reason, Jack.
Absolutely. And also, for everyone who hadn't listened to our Bodyguard episode yet, go back and listen to that after this one. I've got my story where I met Kevin Costner when I lived in Aspen. He was my first celebrity to meet, you know, quote-unquote big-time celebrity. And so to me, it was really cool to see movies with him after I met him and saw that he was what a cool guy he was. So that's kind of another reason that if you ask me if I had to pick one baseball movie, it would be Field of Dreams.
Well, and again, you got the humongous cast. You got Amy Madigan there, James Earl Jones, like you mentioned, Timothy Busfield, Burt Lancaster, on and on and on in this movie. And, you know, it's a story around baseball. It's not so much a baseball movie like what, I mean, Bull Durham is a baseball movie, right? He made that right before he made Field of Dreams. And I remember seeing both of these in the theater.
But that came on the heels of Bull Durham.
Yeah. But that's a baseball movie about a minor league baseball player, a minor league baseball team. This is more like a family, a guy, a story, and it's centered around his love of baseball. But it's not so much a baseball movie, I don't think, if that makes sense. That's interesting. That's the first one that came to mind for you. Not Major League, not a league of their own, not the Bad News Bears, some of the other ones that we could go to, or the one that I'm going to go to, The Natural, the 1984 Robert Redford, Glenn Close, Kim Basinger, Darren McGavin, dramatic story, loosely, air quotes, based on a novel from the 1950s of Roy Hobbs being the mythical baseball player and being the hero at the end of The Natural. If I had to pick one, I am going to go The Natural, and especially the dramatic end with the home run, the Hollywood home run to win the baseball playoff game. I got to go with Robert Redford a few years earlier in The Natural.
I can't argue with you. The Natural is a really fun movie, and you know, we've talked about this over the years. The music in The Natural just gets you pumped up. It just, you know, for opening day, it's like the kind of music that they'll play on TV and the radio. It's synonymous with baseball and home runs and, you know, apple pie and everything that America's game stands for. And that's kind of what I think of when I think of The Natural. And it's one of those where I saw it when I was a kid, and there's probably a lot of stuff that I didn't really catch on to because I'm just watching the baseball parts.
Right.
But it's a really good movie on multiple fronts.
Well, and the thing that I can relate to people, and I think you would be a good one to relate this to, that music. The music makes the movie. In fact, it was nominated for an Academy Award for the best score and the best music. And in fact, at old Texas Ranger games at the ballpark. Now, what do they call the ballpark now? It used to be the ballpark in Arlington. What is the name of it now?
Currently, the one that opened in 1994, which closes after next season, is called Globe Life Park in Arlington. We're getting a new stadium with a retractable roof for our
summers. About that's unreal. They just keep building stadiums in Dallas. But
crazy.
For years, when that thing came into existence, they would play The Natural after home runs. They would play the music as the player was rounding the bases, right?
Yes. That's exactly, I mean, they've got the setup at the ballpark here in Arlington, in case you can't just automatically picture it like I do, is there's like office building kind of offices out in the center field behind the hitter's eye, the green grass. And above the offices, they'll shoot off fireworks. The fireworks will be going off while The Natural music is playing. And it's it kind of brings back memories of the movie, you know, how with the end when he hits the home run and shatters the lights and there's just the fireworks, quote unquote, going off in the background. And that's kind of what that reminds you of when you go to Ranger game in a Ranger song.
And I have been to Ranger games back in the 90s. I lived in Dallas for a little while where Jay is, and they were constantly playing. So they still, to this day, do they play The Natural some, or do they play it all the time when a Ranger hits a home run? Or, I mean, what's the update for 2017? What's the latest?
Yeah, we're in 2018, where we are.
2018, that's right, yeah.
I've only been to one game so far, and I went for a little while. I was working, so I was kind of in and out doing a story for one of the local publications here. And the great Chuck Morgan, who does the entertainment at the Ranger games, he does a great job. And I can't guarantee you they still do, but it would surprise me if they didn't because they've done it for so long. It's kind of a staple of going to the games there.
How about that? Okay, so yeah, The Natural, almost synonymous in those instances. And look, I know you're going to get on me here a little bit because Hollywood and the producers in Hollywood played fast and loose with the book and the story that's in the book, especially with the ending to the book. I don't think we have to worry about spoiler alert because it's a 1984 movie. If you cared to see Robert Redford, Glenn Close, and company in The Natural, you would have already seen it by now. But the end of the movie does not hold true to the 1952 novel.
Correct, right. The novel, in the novel, he took the money that the judge was trying to bribe him with to throw the game. And all the, and he decides to end up trying at the end, and but he ends up striking out. And in the movie, he gives the money back and then goes and hits the home run and saves the day.
I like that ending so much better. Hollywood, I mean, yes, it's Mighty Casey type thing to strike out there at the end and not everything works out, but it is so Hollywood to have the ending of that. And I'll relate one more quick story here while we have a second. I have a friend of mine, and he may be listening to this podcast. I met him through work. And a little bit later on, Rob Dibble will talk about this coming up, that Dibble actually got to play as a relief pitcher in a minor league game in War Memorial Stadium in Buffalo, where they filmed a lot of the natural and the baseball scenes and the fictitious New York Knights team. This friend of mine got to be an extra in that climactic scene. They did a casting call for extras to come put on the 1930s and 40s clothes and be up in the stands. And he and his buddies tried to find themselves in the stands and the cutaways in the movie. They can't ever find themselves. They didn't make it. They would use the still pause, the freeze on the screen and could never see themselves. But he was there the night they were filming those famous scenes and the home run hitting the lights and all of that. So to be part of that, and by the way, on a previous episode of We've Seen That, you told us something similar with the movie Any Given Sunday and you being involved as an extra on that.
Right, yeah, when they did Any Given Sunday, they filmed a part of it at Texas Stadium, and it was, this, I'm assuming, going to be similar. They kind of had us moving around and everything, and there's a lot of sitting and waiting and then some filming and then some more sitting and waiting. And don't get me wrong, it was a great experience, and it's a fun story to tell everyone. I'm glad I did it.
Well, so then again, Hollywood does some different things with movies and with dramatics. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But The Natural was nominated for Academy Awards. So was Field of Dreams. I mean, we picked two very, very popular movies to go along with. So, the interesting thing now is we have to come up with later on our favorite scene in a baseball movie and maybe who pulled it off in a baseball movie. So you and I are going to do that. But do we want to bring on our special guest?
I'm excited. Let's call him.
All right. So here is Rob Dibble with us to talk more about baseball movies, his love of different baseball movies and scenes and who pulled it off and why. Here's that conversation. Yeah, here he is. I've been looking forward to this, Famous Jay. Rob Dibble, 1990 world champion with the Cincinnati Reds, outstanding relief pitcher, National League All-Star. But you also probably know him from his broadcast lives, ESPN Radio, Fox with the Best Damn Sports Show, Fox Sports Radio. I actually got to work with Rob, at least he took my phone call, et cetera, when we were at XM and Sirius XM together. Dibs, how are you, brother?
DJ, how you doing, buddy?
We are fantastic, and of course, I should mention the Rob Dibble Show that's now on the ESPN Connecticut fleet of stations. He owns New England for ESPN Radio and his Rob Dibble Show every afternoon, and at the time we're talking, this is your time of the year, Dibs, because baseball is in the air, opening days are happening all over the place, a new baseball season in 2018 is underway. I know you're pumped.
Oh, it's fantastic, guys, and the big thing is that you're probably going to see some more baseball-related type movies or documentaries coming out in the near future. I mean, you got this Shohei Ohtani kid. He's the Asian version of Babe Ruth. He's already off to a great start, a couple of wins, and hitting home runs. So, guys like Bryce Harper are having a great start to his year. So it's a great time to be watching baseball and covering the game.
All right, so what's fun for us and what we have already kind of alluded to here is we've got our favorites for a lot of different reasons in a lot of different categories. If I point blank say to you, favorite baseball movie and why, Rob Dibble, the answer is?
I would say Major League, because Charlie Sheen's character was very close to my own in my minor league days and even in early on in my major league days. Not the whole wild thing part, but the bad haircuts and kind of like the bad boy image was just the way I lived my life. And, you know, it was funny because Charlie was a huge Reds fan and we became friends, not just myself. I mean, my teammates, every time we went to LA, we'd go to his mansion. We'd have team parties at Charlie's house. In fact, he once said that the two best parties he ever threw were the two he threw for the Cincinnati Reds. And that was on Howard Stern's show. But he would always come and he'd take batting practice and he'd hang out in the outfield and stuff. And so I kind of felt like I had a little bit more skin in the game of that movie than some of the other baseball-related movies, but there's a ton of them. I mean, Kevin Costner did a great job in Bull Durham. He did a really good job in the other one where he's throwing a perfect game. And he always loved the game of baseball. And then there's, you know, The Natural with Robert Redford. I love that movie because I played on that field that they filmed that movie with.
Wow.
Old Ford Memorial. That's where O.J. Simpson played his days with the Buffalo Bills. We played against the Buffalo Bisons up there. And I was actually, to give you some trivia, the last pitcher to get a save and pitch on that field. And then they retired it and they demolished it. So the Naturals filmed up in Buffalo on that field. Hated right field because it had that short porch. But, yeah, so some of these things, you know, and then playing in Iowa in the mid-'80s, I played with the Cedar Rapids Reds. So A Field of Dreams and movies like that kind of, you know, give you great memories about when you're in the minor leagues and stuff. So there's so many baseball movies that just, you know, touch a chord with me, including like The Rookie. The Rookie with the Dennis Quaid movie where Norm Charlton played with the Jim Morris character. I interviewed the Jim Morris character, and it's a true story of a guy that had a bad arm, and then he retires from pro ball and thrown to just his kids, strengthens his arm, comes back, and he ends up pitching in the major league. So, I mean, that's probably one of the greatest stories ever put into a movie from a baseball perspective.
Let me ask you this about one of my favorite baseball movies is For Love of the Game, especially the part how he does kind of the release the mechanism. Is that true? Can you go out there and shut off the fans?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you're not really paying attention to fans unless there's not a lot of them. You know, it's funny because there was just a moment with Bryce Harper last week against the Reds, and some fan screamed out something because there was so few at Great American Ballpark, so he was able to, I think he said, like 2 seconds, you can go and you can, YouTube this, so you're overrated, and you can hear it, and then you hear like 1 second, 2 seconds, crash, and Bryce Harper hits a home run. So when you're on the field, and there's 50,000 fans, there's just like a buzz, you can't really hear them, and it's a lot easier to block it out. I mean, you know, playing at Shea Stadium, for instance, the only time you really couldn't block something out was the Jets when they changed their takeoff patterns or landing patterns. They flew right over the stadium. And it would be so loud, you'd have to, like, step off the mound and be like, wow. I mean, because it seems like they're going to fly into the stadium. It was crazy. So, going into LaGuardia and JFK right by Shea Stadium was kind of a crazy moment when you're in a baseball game. So, you know, all the stuff that he did in that movie, I guarantee that, there's a lot of truth to it.
Hey, I wonder on that point, Costner, obviously tremendous baseball movies, tremendous sports movies, but with Field of Dreams, it's the tug at your heart story. It's a heartwarming story about a relationship with a guy and his dad. You know, the Crash Davis Bull Durham is kind of the goofy look at the minor leagues and had the love interest and the love triangle with Tim Robbins, with Nuke, and with Susan Sarandon as Annie. And then For the Love of the Game is a love story where he's pitching in the major leagues, but it's such a perfect, quotes, story in and around perfect game and Yankee Stadium. If you had to rank those three baseball movies for the different reasons, where do they rank? We'll rank them 1, 2, 3.
Well, I mean, I would say For the Love of the Game is first, Bull Durham is second, and then A Field of Dreams for me would be third, you know, because I love the tug of your heartstring stuff and the relationship with your dad and all that kind of stuff. It's a great concept, but Bull Durham is very similar to the way it is in the minor leagues, although I don't remember too many women being as hot as Susan Sarandon. and For the Love of the Game, you know, I was never that old. When I retired, I was 31. But, you know, I truly believe that I'm sure tons of players, whether it's Tom Brady right now in the NFL or other aging players, that's the way it is for you. Your body is failing you, and this is kind of the way my career was. You're thinking more about what am I going to do with my life once it's over kind of stuff, and that's affecting guys every day. I mean, that's happening in every sport, every day. NBA, I was out in L.A. when Kobe Bryant in the last couple of seasons, blows out his Achilles heel, you know, and your body starts to give way, but mentally you still want to play. You still love it. You still, you know, it's every part of your fibers and your DNA that make you up. Every molecule in your body is pointing towards, this is what I was meant to do. This is my path. And now it's coming to an end. And you have no idea to do. It's frightening.
And one other baseball movie I wanted to run by you. What are your thoughts on A League of Their Own? That's one of my favorites. And I kind of wanted to get
your opinion
on that one.
Well, first of all, historically, it's amazing. I'm huge on the history of baseball. I've been to the Hall of Fame. I covered it, and TJ would know this. We covered it many, many times and still do for the MLB channel on SiriusXM. And we would go up there, and, you know, you just realize, you know, the old Negro Leagues, for instance, I think it could probably get a lot more love from Major League Baseball. They have their own museum in Kansas City, but there's just a small section in Cooperstown. It's the same thing with A League of Their Own. There's a small section in Cooperstown, but there's always been baseball going on in World War One and World War Two and Vietnam and Desert Storm. We have the flag on our jersey to 1990 because in January after the Super Bowl, they went in and took back Kuwait from Saddam Hussein. And so that's probably the best part of my World Series win and my jersey is that flag over your heart. So, you know, I had a brother in the Navy. My dad was in the Naval Reserve. And so the military is huge in my life. So when you go back to A League of Their Own, these are women that, you know, they didn't have aspirations to be major league ball players. They had aspirations to just be athletic and do what they wanted to do. And back then, you know, they weren't taken seriously. You know, back then in the 40s, it was more like, hey, you know, be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, and, you know, this is a man's game and that kind of stuff. And they showed everybody that they're just as tough as any man that could play the game. And there's so much more to women's athletics. And then, I mean, living up here in UConn, then you see the UConn women, what they've done. I mean, it's just, had there not been women willing to sacrifice back in World War II to keep Major League Baseball going while there was a war going on, I don't know where the game would have gone. And plus, the one thing I love about the movie that I just was reading up on before I even talked to TJ about doing this was that the director, Gary Marshall, had all of the girls and all the women in the movie come to his mansion or his backyard, his thing, and show that they could play baseball. So it wasn't just like, hey, you're cute and we're going to put you in a dress and you're going to be in this baseball movie. He was like, oh, no, we're going to be respectful. You better have some athleticism, and yet you better be able to go out there and hold your own on a baseball field. And so Gary Marshall, like with Gina Davis's character, said, let me see you throw. Let me see you swing a bat. Let me see you run around a little bit, you know. And she and then in the movie where she does the split, the girl that was supposed to be the body double or stunt double couldn't do the maneuver. So Gina Davis, because I guess it's the 25th anniversary that they just had, Gina Davis does that split by herself because the other girl couldn't do it for her.
That's, wow. Okay, so that leads me into, she pulled that off. A great character, baseball character. Who else pulled it off? And I'll put the buffet in front of you. Robert Redford as the outfielder. You mentioned Charlie Sheen as the relief pitcher. Costner as Crash Davis, or maybe as Billy Chappell, the pitcher. Tom Berenger as Jake, the catcher. Who pulled it off, Rob Dibble, as an actor being a baseball player?
Man, not too many of them, to tell you the truth. I mean, I would say Robert Redford when he's hitting, not when he's throwing.
Okay.
Tom Berenger, when he's doing most of the drills and stuff like that, he's very believable. And, you know, throwing and stuff like that. I love Wesley Snipes. I mean, I thought that he looks like an outfielder. He looks like a guy that could steal bases and stuff like that. But Charlie Sheen, man, that his windup and delivery, really hokey. Same thing with Costner in For the Love of the Game. You know, most guys are a lot more fluid than that. And you could tell, you know, and hey, listen, I'm not an actor, so it's not like I could go out there and act as well as they do. They're amazing at what they do. But, you know, when you watch baseball players, man, you know, hitters, and I've played with some great Hall of Famers, they've been doing this since they were like 4 or 5 years old. They've been swinging and throwing, and There's a lot more fluidity to it. And it's the same thing even in the football movies and stuff like that. Very few guys ever look like they could pull off. Remember Heaven Can Wait?
Yes.
Warren Beatty?
Yes.
Oh, my God, he's so awful in that movie.
It's trying like, to play, you know, trying to play quarterback. Right, he's trying to play quarterback.
To play quarterback.
Right, of the Rams.
It was horrendous. So it's just like, it's very difficult. And I think even in Any Given Sunday with Jamie Foxx, I thought, when it wasn't like Master P or P. Diddy or somebody was supposed to play that part.
Yeah, it was yes. P. Diddy. He couldn't throw the ball.
Yes.
That's right. So they were like, no, you're not doing it. So... And then, you know who I liked? I don't know what the kid's name was in 42. He looked fantastic.
Yeah,
he looked like he,
yeah, that played Jackie
yeah, Chadwick
Robinson.
Boseman.
He did a great job.
Right, and Chadwick Boseman has gone on to have some other roles, including now the Black Panther and some different stuff. But he's very athletic. And in the movie, he's also in the Draft Day Kevin Costner movie playing a football player. So sometimes they can pull it off. So we only have a few more moments here with Rob Dibble. On your show, on the Rob Dibble radio show, you have recently, at the time we're talking, actually in and around kind of like the NCAA tournament theme, you did a bracket of baseball movies, a bracket of 32, yep. I believe. 32
yes.
baseball movies.
Yeah,
how did
32.
It come out? How did it go?
It came out with Sandlot taking out a league of their own. And at one point, it was Kevin Costner where he was a Field of Dreams versus Bull Durham to get into the Final Four.
Okay.
And so he was up against his own movie.
And this was fan
four.
Voting,
yeah,
right? This was
okay,
right. Fan voting, keep
it
going,
was
yes.
Fan voting. This was listeners and fan voting, and Sandlot ended up taking everything. So Sandlot was your best baseball movie of the field of 32.
Did you agree with that? Did you agree with the fans? Would you put Sandlot? I mean, you said Major League to us. You think maybe Major League should have gotten more attention?
Well, because we kind of split it up instead of regions, we did like real life, I think. One was comedy, another one was period, you know, type stuff. So, you know, maybe if we had just done it regular baseball movies, but no, I mean, I honestly, you know what? You guys are going to laugh. One of my all-time favorite movies is Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck.
Okay.
I thought he did a good job.
I know he's older, but I loved it.
So
I thought Tom Selleck was amazing.
Do you think he somewhat pulls it off there as the American that's over in Japan and trying to make it in the big leagues, or is it just
absolutely.
Weak?
Absolutely. No, he was fantastic. In fact, I'll give you one last quick story. Spring training, the year, it was like 1991 before the movie came out. And he was good friends with Sparky Anderson and the Detroit Tigers organization. So he hit in a game against the Reds in spring training, and Lou Piniella wouldn't let me face him because he was afraid I'd hit him. So he brought in one of my God rest his soul, Tim Liotta, who was on our world championship team and passed away in a car accident. Tim went in there because Tim threw in the upper 80s with a big curveball, and he kept fouling it away. And it was funny because finally Lou's like, all right, get rid of this guy. And he throws in the big knuckle curveball to strike him out. But Lou wouldn't let me face Tom Selleck.
Lou,
he was afraid I'd drill him, but
Lou thought you would hit him on purpose or that you would just be amped up,
yeah.
Rob Dibble, and be wild.
No, not wild. That was very rarely wild. That was all a smoke screen. But I'll give you another quick story. Tom Glavine faced Wayne Gretzky in spring training, hit Wayne in the mouth, knocked the tooth out. Even Hall of Famers can get wild when their face.
So
like
you throwing to Tom Selleck, would it have been like Randy Johnson throwing to John Kruk? Basically,
might have been over his head.
No, you'll laugh at this. He came through Cincinnati when he was filming Lassiter, when he actually shaved off his mustache.
Yeah.
And we became pretty decent friends, and I used to go out and have dinner with him a lot in spring training, like the years he was down there. And we became pretty close. I would have laid it in there like I would my own teammates in batting practice and said, see if you can hit it. I wouldn't have let up. I mean, I would have thrown it in the low to mid-90s. I wasn't going to just throw, you know, a 70-mile-an-hour pitch in there. But you know, he battled. He's a big dude. He's like 6'5". He's not like some shrimpo.
And there had to be a moment where you're going, that's Magnum P.I. Forget about Mr. Baseball. That's Magnum P.I.
Right. Absolutely. That I'm Magnum P.I. I'm a big Tom Selleck fan. What was it? Three Men and a Baby.
Yes.
All those. I love the movies he was in.
All right.
Rob, before you go, I have one question. We talked kind of about who's the most believable. Is there any of them you've seen, like maybe Mr. 3000 or some of those, or Little Big League, where you're like, there's not one ounce of reality to this?
Honestly, I was going to bring up Mr. 3000 because I love Bernie Mac. I thought that was a fantastic movie. He had a horrible swing in that movie, but you know what? The acting made it believable. That's the thing. I mean, Tom Selleck might not look like he would have ever been an amazing player, but he made it believable. And the way they cut it up, for the love of the game, I mean, yes. I mean, I'm being overly critical because I think I'm a little bit more protective as a former major leaguer, but most of these guys do a fantastic job. Robert Redford is amazing in The Natural. There's never been a time when a movie like The Natural comes on where I don't sit there and watch the game. You know, go back to, like, I think it's Bang the Drum Slowly with Robert De Niro. He's horrible.
Right. Yeah, he's not good as a baseball player, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't care that he's not that good as a baseball player. It never really comes up. Dennis Quaid actually pretty much pulls it off in some football movies he's been in. In The Rookie, he's not awful, but it's just the windup that I'm talking about. It's the, you know, it's almost like they must have a seminar for actors on how they teach the windup to. It's not really well. It's not good.
Well, what is good is getting to break bread verbally with Rob Dibble, the Rob Dibble Show, and he's here with us on We've Seen That, talking baseball movies. So Sandlot won in your online or your fan contest on the air that you did. Yep. You've imparted some great wisdom about the baseball movies. Tell the fans where they can find your radio show throughout this baseball season, whenever they want to find it or find you online or Twitter. Plug away, Dibs.
Yeah, we're 97.9 ESPN out of Hartford. We're also on ESPN 1300 in New Haven. We have all, like, southern Massachusetts, Connecticut, and the Fairfield area of Connecticut. We cover all the Yankees and Mets, and now we have all UConn sports. And you can download it on the iHeart app for free. So it's an iHeart radio station, so you just got to get the app, and you can check it out. And, like, even today we'll have Rich Beam on to talk Masters.
How about that?
You know, so we always have great guests on.
The Rob Dibble Show. I love it. Famous Jay, do we have anything else for Rob Dibble here about the baseball movies? I can't believe you didn't make it into Major League as, like, one of the villains on the Yankees teams or one of that. I mean, that would have been perfect to have Dibs in there for something like that.
But I was on a sitcom with James Caan a couple of years ago. I think it's called Back in the Game. And this was the perfect character for me. I was doing life in prison. I was a teacher, and my character's name was Senseless Paul. And it's funny, it only lasted like three more episodes after my episode, then it got canned and canceled. So I felt really bad that I might have had something to do with it. But my wife still, because she loves me, she said, your episode was the funniest one.
You're Senseless Paul from here on out, a life in prison character in a baseball movie. Jay, I don't know how we top that with Rob Dibble, Famous Jay. Anything else for him?
I think if they remake Major League, I think they should cast you as the Duke.
He's got to be the Pete Vukovich character. Yeah. I
would throw it at my kid in a father's
game. I love it.
I'm kidding.
Hey, Dibs, what a treat to talk baseball movies with you on We've Seen That. Thank you, sir. Best of luck with the radio show. And I always appreciate it when you will come on with me wherever it is. Thank you.
All right, Famous Jay, TJ, you guys be well.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, so Famous Jay, there's our conversation with Dibs. How about that? Any good?
What a great guest. That might be the highlight of our We've Seen That so far. Good get there, TJ. How funny was that, talking about Lou Piniella wouldn't let him pitch to Tom Selleck?
Because he was afraid he was going to hit him with the ball in either the ribs or maybe worse. How about that? And Dibs was that kind of volatile pitcher. But as volatile as he was on the field, he's equally gentle giant kind of off the field. Great guy. Great to get to know. Now he was talking about players not pulling it off. He didn't think Costner really pulled it off as a baseball player. Maybe even as Crash Davis, but certainly not as Billy Chappell in For the Love of the Game. And surprisingly, he thought Gina Davis did as well as anybody pulling it off as the catcher in a league of their own. What about that?
According to Dibbs, Dottie Henson is like the greatest baseball movie player of all time, pretty much.
Well, and how about the story that he related to us, that he knows Gary Marshall, the producer, and Gary Marshall basically had tryouts in the backyard of his mansion to find out if Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell and Gina Davis and all the actresses could actually play baseball or not as a prerequisite. How about that?
No, that's cool, because like, if people have heard our White Men Can't Jump episode, they'll know that a lot of times you'll have an actor who you hire to be a basketball player and can't play basketball. You know, so it's nice to know going in that you've got someone that is at least familiar and convincing with what they're doing. And as far as League of Their Own goes, you know, he mentioned that that was one of the ones that did really well in his bracket. And, you know, when that came out, like, Tom Hanks was kind of the big banner name in it, even though he was kind of a supporting player playing Jimmy Dugan. But Gina Davis and Lori Petty, I thought they did a great job, and that's a really good movie. I highly recommend, if you hadn't seen that one, to go check it out.
That's tremendous from back in the 80s, and as Rob was mentioning, it's based mostly on the true story of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, which was the entertainment in the summer with the wars going on, with World War II going on. That they played, and they've got the exhibit in Cooperstown in the Baseball Hall of Fame with all of that. Okay, so that prompts me. We started talking about actors and actresses that pulled it off. Who pulled it off? I mean, he said Robert Redford batting okay, I believe it, but not as a fielder, not trying to throw the ball
right.
As a baseball
correct.
Player. He liked Gina Davis. He wasn't such a big a fan of Kevin Costner. Who pulled it off in a baseball movie while we're looking across all of these?
You know, since I never played baseball professionally, I'm going to kind of just go out on a limb and say that the baseball players in Moneyball, the Brad Pitt movie where he played Billy Beane, I think they did a good job. And I know that's one we hadn't really mentioned yet. But and that's also, it's kind of like Field of Dreams in a way where it's not necessarily a baseball movie. It's more about the analytics and everything behind the scenes. But it kind of has baseball as the backdrop. But I'm going to say that the baseball players in Moneyball did a good job overall.
And again, that's a 2010 movie, and they were recreating the Oakland A's story of the early 2000s, and they actually had
one
some.
One thing can I say about real quick about Moneyball is I enjoy the movie. Aaron Sorkin is my favorite writer. Did Few Good Men.
Yep.
Yeah, he wrote that. But the fact that they point out that Oakland A's won all that, and they don't mention the fact that they had those three great pitchers. They act like the entire thing was done off analytics. That kind of threw me off a little bit, since I remember them having, was it Barry Zito and
yep.
Tim Hudson and Mark Mulder? They barely get any mention in the movie at all. So
well,
if anyone's listening, I caught onto that.
Here again, I agree with you, and that was a big controversy when the movie came out a few years ago, now back 7 or 8 years ago, that it didn't stay as true to the book in that part of the, because in the book, it actually details this was part of how they succeeded, how they figured out how to succeed in Hollywood with Pitt and the storyline didn't delve into that as much. So that's sometimes what happens.
A small note, the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman looked nothing like Art Howe.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of a little minor detail. I don't think Art Howe was real happy with that, but sorry to kind of veer off.
No, but you're right. I mean, the baseball players in that were much more believable. And keep in mind, they were splicing in actual footage from the A's win streak in Moneyball when you watch it again. So they're playing a little fast and loose with that. So it's interesting to watch that. So if I said somebody that really pulled it off, I would not go with Redford in The Natural. He said Willie Mays Hayes' character from Wesley Snipes was very reminiscent. I kind of like Jake, Tom Berenger, Jake, the catcher in Major League. I might have to go with that as the one that really made it believable. The aging veteran bad knees catcher in Major League. I'm going to go with Tom Berenger maybe as a guy that really, he made me believe that he could be the old veteran broken down catcher on his last hope.
Absolutely. You know, he's an Oscar-nominated actor from his role in Platoon. He's been in just tons of movies. He's a really good actor. And his character in Major League is awesome. You know, the fact that, you know, he wakes up and he's down in Mexico or something. He doesn't know where he is, this and that. He's like, you know, thinking the guy that's calling him is pranking him about a chance to play for the Indians. I mean, I really enjoyed his character a lot. And I thought he did a good job. And I agree. I do believe him. And when he's running down the first baseline at the end of the movie and he basically falls down sliding into first base, I believe that he could barely run.
And I love that ending, too, because, again, it's a dramatic ending and it ends up winning the game for them so that they can go on to the postseason with the Indians. Although you've got an interesting thing about that. Again, here, Hollywood taking license or taking liberties with what really happens. Those baseball scenes that we're watching, a lot of them, at least in the first major league, they're not filmed in Cleveland, Famous Jay.
Right. They were filmed at Milwaukee's County Stadium, I believe was the location. And they also, I guess they couldn't get access to Cleveland's municipal stadium at the time where they played.
Not all the time.
There was something going on.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure exactly the details behind it, but I know that they did it at Milwaukee's County Stadium and had the Indians fans there as the extras. That kind of reminds me, you said who I think pulled it off. You know, Plu Haywood for the Yankees was major league pitcher Pete Vukovich. I thought he did a real good job as first baseman for the Yankees.
Yeah, he's kind of the villain there. We joked about Dibs about that, about maybe he could have played that character or played that role with that. But yeah, interesting that you mentioned they did those scenes back in the summer of whatever it was, 1988, I think. And they were doing a lot of them at night when the Brewers were obviously out of town playing somewhere else. They could not pull it off if they were playing in a homestand, but they did not have enough extras to fill the stadium, and the technology did not exist in the 80s to be able to computer enhance and put people into the seats. So they actually would have the crowd sitting behind the dugout or behind home plate, and they would shoot a couple of scenes and have the crowd go crazy over the dugout or behind the plate. And then they would stop production and move everybody into the outfield. And then they would shoot a couple of outfield scenes and cutaways and the scenes where Charlie Sheen's character Rick Vaughn comes out of the bullpen and the crowd stands up. And that's the same people. They just moved them around at night, late night, in Milwaukee's County Stadium to be able to make it work for Major League the next time you watch it.
And it's funny. I'm going to pay a little closer attention because I'm not going to lie. I watch Major League all the time. You know, it's on. It's kind of one of those where, if I'm flipping through the channels and nothing else jumping out at me, I see that. I flip the remote over my shoulder and I'm kind of locked into the rest of the movie.
Yeah, so check into that one. All right, so just going back to our conversation with Dibs, give me a favorite scene, since we're not locked in on we've seen that to one particular baseball movie, even though you've designated earlier in the show Field of Dreams was your favorite. I think the natural probably would be the one that I would go to. It doesn't have to be from Field of Dreams in your case. Maybe it is. Give me a favorite scene for you.
Well, I'm going to stick with Kevin Costner, but I'm going to switch movies. I'm going to go to Bull Durham. And, you know, basically the basis of Bull Durham is that he gets brought down to Single A to kind of be a babysitter / mentor to Ebby Calvin Nuke LaLouche, played by Tim Robbins. And part of the deal is, you know, he's the catcher, Crash Davis, and he's calling the games, and he's trying to teach him how to pitch because we know he can throw. You know, he can throw 100 miles an hour, but he's not real his control is not really there. So Kevin Costner is trying to teach him how to pitch and control a game. And so he's throwing a shutout, and then and Tim Robbins' character, Nuke LaLouche, shakes him off because he wants to bring the heat to this batter. So Crash Davis, played by Kevin Costner in turn, tells the batter what pitch is coming, and he hits a home run really, really far. In fact, I believe he hits the bull, so he gets a free stake because he hit it so far. And when he walks out,
well, remember the line. Let me stop you. Remember the line. He says, "Here comes the deuce." And when you speak of me, meaning the deuce, is the number one is fastball. Number two is curveball. When a catcher's giving signals, so he's telling him pitch number two, which is the curveball. The deuce is coming. So now the batter knows. Get ready to hit the ball that's curving at you here. Don't have to worry about the fastball. So here comes the deuce. And when you speak of me, Jay, speak well.
And then when he hits the homer, remember, he kind of gives the home run try. He starts yelling at him, "I give you a gift and you show up on pitcher, run, dummy." That's my, if I had to pick one scene of baseball movies, I mean, and there's multiple scenes in Bull Durham you could pick that would fit this category, but I really like that part. And Bull Durham's a fun movie too. I mean, I know it kind of goes chick flicky towards the end, you know, when it turns into a romance.
Of course.
But overall, it's a fun movie. I highly recommend that one.
Well, it's a Ron Shelton movie, and not unlike White Man Can't Jump. It's eventually going to come back to the love angle, the love story with that. So we may end up doing, we've seen that on Bull Durham. If I had to pick one scene, the Robert Redford dramatic end of The Natural, we already talked about that. You've got the dramatic end to Major League. Even though it's a comedy, it does have a dramatic ending with them making the playoffs. I might go with the ending scene in A League of Their Own, the final game there that's played, and then of course, unfortunately, the war ends. Fortunately, the war ends, but their women's professional baseball league goes away because of it. That one may stick with me more than any other one. I mean, we could get sappy with Kevin Costner playing catch with his dad, Ray Kinsella, and John Kinsella.
Are we talking at the end of League of Their Own? Are we talking when Kit slides in or crashes into home plate to dodge,
yes,
and she drops the ball?
Yes.
Did she drop the ball on purpose because it was her sister, or do you think she literally knocked it out of her hands?
I think she's such a competitor. I think Kit literally knocks it out of her hands. And
I think I disagree. I think Dottie dropped it on purpose to take care of her little sister because she knew she was never going to play again.
Wow, how about that? All right, so we can agree to disagree on that.
That's just my feeling, you know.
But I mean,
many people it's one of those, it's certainly a conversation starter.
Well, and this is a movie from 30 years ago, and it still has the debate. You're exactly right about what really happened there. On that ending, and it's Hollywood, you know that Costner in For the Love of the Game is going to get to the ninth inning and have the chance to pitch the perfect. That's what the whole movie's based on, about perfect game and the love story and For the Love of the Game is based in and around that. Now, Selleck in Mr. Baseball, you're thinking the whole time that he's gotten his act together and he's going to be the guy that gets to go back to the big leagues, but it turns out that it's Dennis Haysbert's character as the other American baseball player that ends up getting the contract at the end of Mr. Baseball there on that one. But how about Dennis Haysbert in both Mr. Baseball and in Major League right around the same time? Now, he did Major League first as Pedro Serrano. Hats for bots. He's that. He's in two baseball movies, Dennis Haysbert.
As is in Kevin Costner's in the baseball movies. And everybody forgets Wesley Snipes also played Bobby Rayburn in The Fan.
You know, the De Niro one.
A couple baseball movies. And I thought he did a really good job in The Fan. And The Fan's one of those movies where De Niro's essentially playing the character he played in Cape Fear. He's essentially playing that again. And Tony Scott made The Fan. I think The Fan's a fun movie to watch, but it literally went off the rails at the end when Robert De Niro is suddenly the umpire in the game.
Well,
you know, it's not a movie I would say, yes, you need to see it. If it's on, you haven't seen it, and there's literally nothing else on, maybe. But I did think Wesley Snipes was really good in that movie.
I think off the rails is being kind to that movie. I think Wesley Snipes thanks you for remembering it. Robert De Niro would like you to forget it because he's over the top as Neil, who's like the ultimate fan stalker.
Yeah, Gil,
just goes completely over. That's why you're the famous Jay here on We've Seen That.
Don't forget he left his kid at the baseball game to try and go sell something.
And the other thing is he ends up with a gun and is trying to, he's shooting John Kruk and he's stabbing Benicio Del Toro. So, yeah, that's definitely not a love story or a kid's movie.
Well, Benicio Del Toro wouldn't give up his number to Bobby Rayburn. So, Gil had to do something.
Very true.
Bobby was in a slump.
All right. So, again, there's some different movies and some different scenes. We haven't worked in any Bad News Bears. Dibble did work in earlier on. We've seen that Mr. 3000. Is there another baseball movie that we haven't mentioned as of yet? Bang the Drum Slowly, he mentioned with De Niro. De Niro's not a baseball player. Trying to be a baseball player in that. I have to confess, with Sandlot, I've only seen scenes of that. I have not seen the entire movie. Do you mark me down like 5 points? For not having seen all of Sandlot?
Nah, I'll grade you on the curve. The Sandlot's a fun movie. You're Killing Me Smalls is one of the things my friends and I all say to each other. And that movie came out in 1993, so that's, 25 years ago? We still quote it like it came out yesterday. But I enjoy The Sandlot. I look at The Sandlot more along the lines that I do of The Goonies and Stand By Me, as opposed to a baseball movie like Bull Durham or Field of Dreams or The Rookie or Moneyball or one of those. I mean, that's just kind of my thoughts on The Sandlot in general. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of actually the Netflix show Stranger Things that came out in the last couple of years that people have loved so much. I kind of put Sandlot more with that than I do the baseball movies. There's one baseball movie I'll mention that I wanted to get to earlier, and just by virtue of there being so many, we kind of run out of time, and that is Trouble with the Curve, where Clint Eastwood plays a scout.
Yeah, right,
have you
right.
seen that one? Justin Timberlake is a scout.
I have only seen parts of that. Is that Amy Adams, right, as the daughter? Or who's
correct.
The daughter?
Amy Adams plays his daughter. And John Goodman is like the general manager of the Atlanta Braves. Clint Eastwood's one of their scouts. Robert Patrick, who we know is the T-2000 from Terminator 2. T-1000 from Terminator 2. He is like the owner of the Braves. And then Matthew Lillard, who we know from Scream, is kind of like an up-and-coming player personnel guy who's trying to steal John Goodman's job. That's kind of the basis of the movie. And they send Clint Eastwood out to see this can't-miss kid, and he can't see very well. He's an older man than that, but he can hear it, that he's not hitting the ball right. He's not hitting it real solid. And it's kind of one of those where it's an enjoyable movie, but it's really, really far out there. With some of the believability, it's maybe not quite to the degree as The Fan is, but I enjoy Trouble with the Curve, and I actually watched it with my dad not too long ago, and it's really cool because my dad loves Clint Eastwood, and it was a good time, and we always mention Field of Dreams and your dad's Trouble with the Curve is one of those where you can't, like, the ending, basically, Amy Adams discovers a kid who is working at the hotel they're staying at, or the motel, who ends up having, like, a Randy Johnson type, Steve Carlton type.
Total Hollywood thing. Right.
Yeah,
total Hollywood.
And the fact that he shows up to Turner Field, which is now no longer there, which is crazy to think about, shows up to Turner Field, and the kid that Clint Eastwood recommended they not draft just happens to be there having batting practice and can't hit this other kid. Like I said, that the ending is it's one of those where it's Alice in Wonderland, you know, kind of ending. But I enjoy that movie, and that's one that it's just kind of a fun movie to watch. And as far as the baseball movies go, you mentioned Bad News Bears. The first Bad News Bears I saw was Bad News Bears in Breaking Training, where they went and played at the Astrodome. Have you seen that one?
Yes. Let them play.
Devane and
let them play. Exactly. Let them play. Yes. But see, they made a sequel on that, and it still worked. Some of the other ones, I mean, Major League 2, I saw it once. Terrible. Should have never made a Major League 3. You and I agree on that. They should have just kept it with Major League, right? I mean, we've
Major
talked
League
about sequels.
Major League 2 was one of those. It was supposed to be the next season, but in reality, it was 5 years later. So Dorn and Jake and Wild Thing all look way older. You know, they couldn't even get Wesley Snipes back, so Omar Epps is playing Willie Mays Hayes. You know, it's one of those where it seemed like it was a cash grab as opposed to a necessary sequel. Because some of the sequels we talk about, you know, Beverly Hills Cop 2, for example, we did an entire show on that.
That's right.
It was fun. You get to kind of visit your old friends, Taggart, Rosewood, Axel Foley, everybody. But this one was kind of like, you know, none of the characters were very likable. They weren't the same characters they were in the first one. And it was kind of one of those movies where
that's what you're saying.
Disappointed.
It was
forced. Just disappointing.
Well, and some sequels obviously work. I mean, the sequel in Rocky works. The sequel to The Godfather worked. The Lord of the Rings raked in with sequels. Star Wars rakes in with sequels. But sports movies, a lot of times, you can't make another one and have it be effective. And Bad News Bears, maybe we can tolerate on that front. You know, a couple more. I'm partial to this one. It didn't do well at the box office. It's not well known. But Michael O'Keefe, Rebecca De Mornay, and the Slugger's Wife. Maybe it's because I grew up in the South and grew up watching the Atlanta Braves and the Braves being on cable on TBS, the Braves station, the cable TV station, Ted Turner's network. He plays the baseball hero who breaks Roger Maris's record while playing for the Atlanta Braves that season. And meanwhile, he's losing his wife. He's basically become a bad husband as a baseball player and can't hang on to his wife. So the Slugger's Wife, that doesn't make our all-time rankings, but I'll watch that one every now and then when it's on.
I've never seen that one. That's the Atlanta Braves, you said?
That's correct. So Michael O'Keefe plays the hero.
From Caddyshack.
From Caddyshack. He's trying to break Roger Maris's home run record. He's having a great season. I want to say his name is Daryl Palmer, I think, in the movie. And Daryl Palmer's having a phenomenal baseball season. But his wife is like this up-and-coming pop singer, rock star, and he's having to battle her stardom. They're away from each other. He's miserable. He's losing his wife essentially because of their careers and his baseball career, and it's all weighing on him. So again, didn't do great at the box office, not a well-known movie, but that's a baseball movie. Is there another obscure one that we haven't covered, whether it be of the ilk of Sandlot or Bang the Drum Slowly? You mentioned John Goodman trying to play Babe Ruth in The Babe. Bad baseball movie. That one, no. Thumbs down on him trying to play a big one.
There's a couple kind of stand out that came out close to the same time. I want to say one came out in 93, the other one came out in 94, and that's Rookie of the Year.
Right.
You had Thomas Ian Nicholas, who was in American Pie when he was a kid, who suddenly turns into a pitcher with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, basically. There's that one, which I thought was kind of cheesy. It was, you know, at Wrigley Field, the Cubs and stuff. And then there was Little Big League that came out the following year, where you had Billy Haywood, whose grandfather owned the Twins and left him the team when he passed away. He names himself the manager. And that one, to me, had a little more realism to it. I mean, I know it's way, way far-fetched with the premise, but, you know, they play the Seattle Mariners, so you get to see Lou Piniella, who we mentioned earlier there. You got Ken Griffey Jr. playing. You've got Randy Johnson. And I thought it was a lot of fun, especially now that the Twins are in their new field. This was Target Field, maybe, I believe. This was at the Metrodome.
Right.
It's kind of some good memories from seeing him play at the Metrodome. And I enjoy that one. Once again, it's way out there. It's not any more realistic than Star Wars. But it's kind of a fun movie. And we mentioned a lot of the sequels. There's a couple of remakes. We have Bad News Bears was remade with Billy Bob Thornton.
That's right.
Playing Bat Santa as the coach, which I was not a fan of that remake. And then there's another one came out in 94 Angels in the Outfield that had Tony Danza and Danny Glover and Christopher Lloyd. I thought that it was a Walt Disney movie. I mean, it was definitely one of those, you know, very, very make-believe. But yeah, Tony Danza is like a pitcher for the California Angels at the time, and Danny Glover's the manager, and the kids, like, I believe the kids, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's gone on to be a huge star,
right,
is one of the kids. And it's a fun movie to watch. And once again, it's more of a fantasy that's just kind of set in the baseball world, but it kind of, it's just a happy, uplifting movie. And that's one where, of the remakes that I mentioned, I would recommend that over the Bad News Bears remake.
All right, we're coming now down the stretch of this show, of this edition of We've Seen That. And again, we're not focusing just on one baseball movie. We may come back.
We did almost every baseball movie ever made.
We haven't covered.
Can I mention one more?
We haven't covered all of them. I mean, there's still a few more that we could probably get to here. Did you have another one that we haven't talked about as of
yet? One last one. In fact, it's the one I watched most recently on Netflix. It was 42, where it had Chadwick Boseman.
Yes.
Who plays Jackie Robinson. He recently was in the mega
and that's
Black
what
Panther.
And that's what Dibbs was referencing, that Chadwick Boseman really pulls it off as Jackie Robinson in that movie.
And Harrison Ford playing Branch Rickey. That's just a really good movie. If you hadn't seen that at the time we are recording this, it's on Netflix. Highly recommend giving that a viewing. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, and you worked in a couple of other ones, like The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes, and there's all kinds of different, you know, we have a romance in this sports society with baseball and with baseball movies and with stories. So there have been a bunch of different ones that have come around. So it's interesting, all the different ones that we've covered on this show. We may come back and do one. So have you had fun cataloging these? I mean, it's the beginning of the baseball season, so there's optimism everywhere. I'm in Tampa Bay, where the Rays are supposed to be terrible this year in the division with the Yankees and the Red Sox at the time we're talking, but they've won a couple of games early in the year, so there's hope. There's hope out in Texas where you are that the Rangers will be.
There's no hope here.
There's already
hope
no.
That we're good.
Come on, it's the
beginning. Open the new baseball stadium.
It's the beginning of the year, and there's no hope already at the beginning of the year. I mean,
there's
no hope. Yeah,
I know it's a movie show and not a sports show, but all four of our teams here have had bad seasons, so there's really not a lot of hope other than hopefully they're good by the time that Globe Life Field opens in 2020.
Okay, maybe they'll play the natural music on opening day when somebody hits a home run. If that's what they do. And again, at least hopefully I've cheered you up and put you in a better mood and put the audience in a better mood that it's the start to a new baseball season and that we've, you know, gone over all these different baseball movies and what their favorites are. And by the way, you can sound off on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram on We've Seen That. You can find us any of those three places and tell us what you think about your favorite baseball movie, about your favorite scene, or who really pulled it off as a baseball player, as an actor. You know, I meant to ask Dibs. I didn't get to squeeze it in. They had to have gotten the stories from somewhere in some of these movies like Major League, like which base stealer, because he played back in the 80s and the 90s when base stealers were a big deal, which base stealer was nailing batting gloves or base stealing gloves up on the wall of their apartment or their house, like what Wesley Snipes' character, Willie Mays Hayes, is doing. That had to be somebody. I mean, in the era of Ricky Henderson and Tim Raines and Vince Coleman, now we're going way back to the 1980s and baseball cards. The millennials, the under 30-year-olds, have no idea who we're talking about. When those guys were stealing 100 bases, somebody had to be doing that. That just didn't come up in Hollywood and with the story. I wonder. We'll have to
do
some research.
No, because that story is stupid. There's no way somebody came up with that on their own. I mean, the other one was when they're all sitting there in the, you know, having dinner at the nice restaurant where they had to get a tie for Ricky wearing one. And it is required by the house rules, I believe they said. And this part was the movie, but not the movie, where they said that ball would have stayed in a lot of parks. He said, name one. He said, Yellowstone. You know, stuff like that, you know, has been said. And it's just kind of, it worked its way into that movie. And that's a fun movie, too. And granted, you know, like you said, people sound off on social media. I'm sure there's people that disagree with my takes on some of the baseball movies. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, good stuff. And again, they can give us that feedback at We've Seen That on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Again, whether you found this show, Blog Talk Radio, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Again, rate the show, rank the show. Others will see it, but you get the show automatically whenever we have a new episode. Did you have fun talking baseball as much as I did, including with Rob Dibble of the Rob Dibble Show, that you can find if you're in Connecticut on the over-the-air stations, or you can find him online, iHeartRadio. Did you have fun talking baseball, Famous Jay?
I really did. Now, I mean, it's got me looking forward to whenever the Yankees and the Red Sox and all the big teams come to town so I can go see this.
And we did, and by the way, we neglected a couple of Brewster's Millions, where Richard Pryor plays Monty Brewster, and he has to get rid of all the money. We need to talk about Brewster's Millions at some point, but of course they're playing the Yankees in the movie, and in Major League they're playing the Yankees. Why does everybody play the Yankees in these movies? And of course, for the love of the game, he's throwing the perfect game, famous Jay, at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees.
Vin Scully playing.
Yeah.
Was Vin Scully calling it?
Yeah, with Vin Scully calling it against the New York Yankees. So a lot of these different movies, that's what they focus in on. And we didn't even get to The Naked Gun, which ends in a baseball stadium at Dodger Stadium with Reggie Jackson programmed to kill the Queen. That's not really a baseball movie, though, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it takes place in Anaheim Stadium. Looking for more baseball than that.
All right, so we got a lot to digest and try to figure out if we're going to do a future. We've seen that on specific baseball movies, but this one was fun with our look at the start of the 2018 baseball season. Jay Betzel, thank you. Good work here on this.
Thank you, TJ, and thanks for getting Dibs. Thanks to Dibs for coming on.
Rob Dibble was tremendous. We hope you enjoyed it as well. Again, find us at We've Seen That on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'll be back soon with another edition of our little movie digital podcast, movies of the 80s, 90s, and more. I'm TJ Reeves for Jay Betzel. Thanks for being with us on a baseball edition of We've Seen That.